Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesuvos Daf Pei Vav. We begin at the two dots, six lines from the top of Pei Vav Omer Aleph, with the words Gufa. Gufa always means that we're going to go and reiterate what we said previously, so that would be a great way for us to start the shiur by reminding ourselves what we learned yesterday's shiur. So Gufa, we learned in yesterday's shiur, Omer Shmuel had said a din, Hamocher Shtarchov L'chaveru, if somebody sells his Shtarchov to somebody else, so he has an IOU, and he sells that IOU, it's not due for another year, it's due for $10,000 a year, he sells it right now for $5,000. Dollars to somebody else, he gets the money right now, and the person will collect the IOU at the end of the year. He'll get $10,000. Now, then the chazar umachalo, but then he goes and is mochel that IOU. So he says that the person doesn't have to pay that IOU. So in this situation, the din is that it's mochel. The IOU is canceled, and the person who bought it will see today in Shia, does he have a right to get back his money or not from the person that he bought this IOU from? So din is that the din is that he is mochel, and he does have the capability of mochel, and even, not only himself, but even his yarshim, afilu yoresh mochel, his son, who inherits him, or whoever inherits him, would be allowed to be mochel the deal as well, because they technically are the baal of that IOU. Now, that's what we learned at yesterday's shir, and today we have Amar Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua. Adds on to what we learned in yesterday's shir, and he says, v'pikachu, if the one who buys this IOU is a smart person, as Rashi says, the lokeach, the one who purchases this IOU, if he's a smart person, you know what he should do? Mekarkesh le'zuze. He should go and jingle some coins in front of the person who the IOU was made out from. In other words, the person who, as Rashi says, is the lova, the one who borrowed the money, is the one who has to pay back the loan. He should jingle some coins. The one who purchased this IOU should jingle some coins in front of the one who has to pay back the loan. The socher, Rashi says, behen lichtod lo shtarchov bishmo kodim shiasu kinunya ben shneim. He should go and have them write a new shtar. Now, it's not a total new shtar, because if he writes a new shtar, then the lien would only be from that moment in time, and he would lose out all the years that the IOU maybe has been written from, and he would be entitled to get properties that were lien from the day of the IOU originally being done, and not from now. So he doesn't want to write a totally new shtar, but as the Gemara says, the cost of leishtar bishmei, he writes a new document in his name. In other words, he writes, and there's a discussion in the postum exactly what he writes, but essentially he writes down that I'm obligating myself to you at this point in time. So should they make a kinunya? Should they go and make some sort of a deal between the one who lent the money originally and the one who borrowed the money? So listen, he says, listen, instead of me having to pay back $10,000 a year from now, I'll give you an extra $1,000 right now, and then you just cancel the loan. So this way I'm only paying back $1,000, so they'll make this sort of a kinunya between them, and therefore to prevent this, if the person who purchases the loan document is smart, he would go pay him some money to guarantee that he won't do this in some way by writing a shtar that would at least, worse comes to worse, if they do make a kinunya, take effect now, so the guy who owes the money doesn't gain anything by any kinunya, any sort of a deal that they would make with the person who lent them the money. Okay, so that's the additional thing that Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua said. Now we get to the critical factor. If he is mochel the loan, does he have to pay back the $5,000 or actually $10,000, because he caused the guy to have a loss of a total of $10,000. He purchased it for $5,000, but he was expecting to get another $5,000, so he's really losing $10,000. So Amar Meimar, Meimar tells us, Man didoyin dino de garmi, mad bebe de me shtar ma'alya. The one who holds that if you cause a shtar to be no good, or if you cause damage without directly physically causing damage, everybody agrees if you break my window, so then you are going to be required to go and pay for my window. But if you cause directly damage to me, such as you would take my shtar and you would go burn my shtar. I have a shtar, somebody owes me money, and you go and burn my shtar. So in that situation, Amemar says, if you hold that causation, garmi, directly causing something. There's a difference between groma and garmi according to most poskim, not according to Rashi, but according to many poskim, there's a difference between direct causation of damage and an indirect causation of damage. So we'll work within that framework, that if you cause a direct causation of damage, such as a classic example would be you burn my shtar. So you technically didn't do anything, you just burnt a piece of paper. But that piece of paper allowed me to go and collect a $10,000 debt, and now I have no proof. And the guy says, if you don't have a shtar, I ain't paying you. So in that situation, you directly caused me a $10,000 loss. So Amemar says, if you judge the din of garmi, in other words, that direct causation of damages is held responsible in a court of law, so then, in this situation, this person who purchased the IOU from Reuven, who had lent the money to Shimon, so he can go to Reuven and say, you caused me not only a $5,000 loss, which is what I paid you, but you actually caused me a $10,000 loss, because I would have made $10,000 from Shimon. So therefore, you owe me $10,000. That's what's called Magbide Demei Shtar Ma'al. You pay the total amount of the shtar, because that's the actual loss that you caused me. It would have been worth to me $10,000 a year from now, and therefore that's the loss that you caused me. However, Mandalo Doyen Dino Degarmi, as Rashi points out, Dibra Masku Mandalo Doyen, this is a machlokis in the Gemara in Bava Kama, on Daf Kuf Tezayin Omid Beis. Rav Meir holds the din of Garmi, and the other Mandi Omar that argues with him, there's a number of Mandi Omars that agree with Rav Meir, those that disagree with Rav Meir. In any event, Rav Meir is the one who holds the din of Garmi, and we paskin like Rav Meir, incidentally, Rashi points out. In any way, the one who disagrees with Rav Meir, Mandalo Doyen Dino Garmi, and says, listen, you burnt a piece of paper, so you're obligated to pay me back the value of that piece of paper, which is just a piece of paper, not what's written on the piece of paper. So the one who holds it, we don't hold the din of Garmi, Mandalo Doin Dino de Garmi, and says, listen, in the Olam HaEmes, you're going to be held accountable. And if you want to go and do a lifnei mishuras hadin, you should pay him back for at least the amount of money that you caused him to directly lose, if not indirectly lose. But the bottom line is that if you burnt this piece of paper, all he can tie to you is you owe me a piece of paper. So this is a machlokes, which we technically patkin doyin dino digarmi. However, it's a machlokes as to whether the person who was mochel the document, the IOU, would have to go pay back the full amount of the IOU to the person that he sold it to because he caused him that loss, or just the value of the piece of paper, which is essentially nothing. Maisa shoya, hava uvda. There once was a maisa exactly like this that came in front of Rav Ashi, the kafya rafram l'Rav Ashi, and rafram showed Rav Ashi, proved to Rav Ashi that we are donim dinin de garmi, the agbebe ki kishura litzalmi. And he ended up having the person who caused the damage, in other words, the person who was mochel the shtar, in our situation, have to pay the full amount, like kishura litzalmi. Rashi explains kishura litzalmi is a very, very high price. In other words, the best. Klomar, gibui, he has to go and collect gomur, a total collection. Kol hafsid, dik dik bo. He has to pay the entire amount because, in other words, in my situation where it's a $10,000 loan, he has to pay back the $10,000, not just the $5,000 he actually caused him a direct loss, but even the loss of the entire amount that he would have collected. Just like Hashi Yedakte Kalokech Kora, just like a person who buys a beam, Lotzer Botsuros, Rashi says, to go and color on it pictures, shalokeach yeshara v'chalaka. When you're buying such a beam that you're putting up have pictures on it, so they have to be a perfectly good beam, so you want it to be a straight beam and a nice and smooth beam. In other words, it has to be the best beam. Ki kishura litzami. Just like you're buying a beam for drawing on it, for putting on it pictures, so too, in this situation, the person who caused the damage through garmi is going to have to pay the full amount. So in our situation, the one who was mocha would have to pay the person who purchased the IOU from him the full $10,000. That's what Rafram forced by arguing with Rav Ashi and showing him that the din is doyin din in the garmi. That's what he caused him to pay. Well, it continues and says, Amar Meim, Mishre de Rav Chama. A Meimar says in the name of Rav Chama, Hai man di'ika alei kesubas isho balchov. If a person owes two people money, he owes his wife the ksuba, let's say he divorced her, and he owes the Baal Chov money, and he owes a person who he lent money to, he owes that person the money. V'isle ara, v'isle zuze. He has both land in his possession, and he has money in his possession. Now, it's general, we're working on the assumption that it's always better to pay off someone that you owe money to, money, and not land. Land is okay if you don't have money, so then you can pay land. But in general, you want to pay back with money. So this person has enough land to pay back one, and enough money to pay back one. He can't pay both back money. So in this situation, what is the din? He has land and he has money, but not enough to pay both money. So he therefore is going to have to give one money and one land. So lebal chov mesalkina lebezuse. It makes sense that he should pay the one who he owes money to money. Pay the Baal Chov the money that he has, and Le'isha, and to pay off the woman's kesuva, Misalkinon lo be'ara. He goes and gives her the land, which she can go sell to support herself. Well, obviously she can keep the land if she wants to, if she has enough money to support herself, but Mistama, she needs the money, so she'll have to go and sell that land. It'll be her responsibility to sell the land and get the money that's the equivalent of her kesuva. Now, why did he say this? Why did Amemer say that this is the way you should do it? Because each one gets what they're expecting, so to say. As Rashi points out in Dibur Maska Haikidine, Zehalova Mos. The one who lent money and was expecting to get back money. And the woman with her ksuba knew that if she doesn't have money, if her husband doesn't have money, her ex-husband doesn't have money when he pays the ksuba, or if the husband dies and he doesn't have money to pay off the ksuba, the estate will have karka. Whatever karka he has, she knows that she can rely upon that. And therefore, since vihilo nos l'klum, she didn't give anything to this. This was an entitlement of the ksuba, and therefore, v'im bishul nechse tzon barzel hanishom v'ksuba. And even if she did give something, she had tzon barzel written to the ksuba. So who's ocher them yad? The husband owns them, so to say, right away, and is just responsible for their value. That's why they're called tzon barzel. Whether they go up or down, whether they're destroyed or not, he has to pay the value of the original estimation. So that's why it's called tzon barzel. It's like iron tzon. They can't die. They can't get ruined. They're always worth that certain amount. And therefore, they were written into the ksuba now, v'zut sirfosin and maksuba al shibud karka. So she only ever expected to possibly get shibud karka. And therefore, it makes sense. He expects to get money, so he should get the money. There's only enough money for one. And she gets the karka, because that's pretty much what she was counting on anyway. Now, Tosus points out, there are three types of rules over here. Dibur maskul or baal chov, Tosus points out, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the gimel dinim chalukim lemilveh. The three different rules that apply when you pay back money to somebody, for a person who lent you money, the milva, lenizak, a person you did damage to and you owe money to, l'socher, and a person that you hired as a worker for you. Lebalchov, for the one that you owe money to, that's the example of the milva, isle zuze, if you have money, lo motzi l'saluki be'ara, you're not allowed to go give him land, you must give him money. Like the cases over here, the person who has the balchov, a responsibility, so that person gets money if there is money in his pocket. The nizak, if one you did damage to, even if you have money, afilu islezuze, if you have money, if you wish, masalik lebiari, you're allowed to go give him land and say, listen, here's the amount of land that's equal to the broken window that they broke for you, the damage that caused to your property. Go sell it if you don't want the land. But it's your responsibility, I'm paying you back. So with nizak, you're allowed to even give property even though you have money. Ubisacher, and a worker, afilu less lezuze, even though you may not have any liquid cash, and you tell the worker, here's a nice piece of land for the money that I owe you for your work, right? You just did all the electricity on my house. So I owe you $1,000. I don't have $1,000, but here's a piece of land that's worth $1,000. So I'm renun lay. So we tell the person who hired the electrician, zeal tarach vizovin, you have to go sell the land, trouble yourself to sell the land, but I say zuze, and give this worker zuze. As we learned in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the Dan Beperek Habayis for Aliyah in Gemara in Bava Metzia on Dav Kuf Yud Ches, Hayosi Mo Betevin Ubekash Yomar Tol Maash or Sisu B'Scharecha. If a person was helping him out with straw and a grain, and he tells him, "Listen, I don't have cash to pay you, but take some of the straw and the grain, and that will be your payment." Ain Shamalo. We don't have to listen to him. Mash Mahasam Afilu de Les Lezuzi, and that's even in case he has no money. We put the tircha of getting the money on the person who hired the worker and not on the worker himself. So these are the three rules that Rabbeinu Tam brings down and how you have to pay back debts. And it's again appropriate over here that the Baal Chov, if there is money, he's entitled to the money, more so than the woman with the ksuba, who was somewhat expecting that she may have to get it from Kark. Amemar says further, v'ilo iko elochad ara, and let's say he only has enough to pay back one of them. He only has one piece of land. He has no money at all. V'lo chazi elochad, he can only pay back either the Baal Chov or he can pay back the woman for her ksuba. So Amemar says, l'Baal Chov yavinu le. We preferably give it to the Baal Chov in this situation. He doesn't have enough to pay both, so the Baal Chov gets it. As Rashi points out, shlotino delis. If the Baal Chov doesn't know that he's going to be the first in line to get repaid, he's never going to go and lend money. Whereas by the woman, the Gemara says, "Leisha lo yavina la." We don't give it to the woman if there's only enough for one, because my taima, because Yosef Masha Ish rotsa lisa, Isha rotsa linase. Because we are not concerned so much that the woman won't get married in that situation. The Baal Chov says, "If I'm not first online, I don't know if I'm going to lend any money, and therefore, in order to help the poor people out, so we always give the Baal Chov the first shot at any money that's there in the estate." Whereas the woman, we have the great principle of Tav Mil Mesav Tandu, Mil Mesav Armelu, the Reish Lakish said previously, and others as well. So we always therefore say that the woman would still prefer to get married, even if she's not guaranteed that she'll get her ksuba, because of this concept of a woman prefers to be married even more so than the man. And so as she says, V'lo chayshinon lomar mishum chinah. And we don't worry over here about chinah. Now chinah was, we said the other day, that women aren't going to get married if they don't know for sure that they'll get the ksuba. But In this situation, we're dealing, Tosus explains, why don't we apply this concept of chinah? Because we're dealing here with the death. We're dealing here with her collecting her ksuba. And the Baal Chov is against her. So in this situation, we would apply the principle of Tavli Mesav Tandu and Mesav Armelu. As opposed to what we were discussing previously, was really a case of a divorce. A woman says, listen, if I'm going to need to go get my ksuba money, so then I'm more concerned over here. So therefore, Tosus points out there's a slight difference between the two cases that we had previously where we were concerned about Chinah, and here we're not as concerned about Chinah. Again, obviously, the woman still is going to be concerned about it, but when it's against the Baal Chov, so Amemer Paskins that we would pay the Baal Chov ahead of the woman's kesuba if there's not enough for both. Mark continues says, Amalei Rav Papa, Rav Chama, Rav Papa said to Rav Chama, Vadai Damrisu Mishmei Derava, did they really say in your name? Rav Papa is asking Rav Chama, did they really say in your name the following statement that Rava had made? Did you say over this statement that Rava had made? Hai man demaske bezuze, if someone owes another person money, the Isliara, and he only has land to pay back the money that he borrowed. He doesn't have any cash. So then, the Asa Baal Chov, so the Baal Chov takes him to din, the guy that he borrowed the money from takes him to a din Torah, says, listen, you got to pay me back the money. And he says, listen, I only have land. For Amalei, did you say in the name of Rava, Zil Shkome Ara, that the person had claimed that I don't have money, so I'll give you the land. Did you tell that person, Amrina Le, Zil Zabin At V'Aisehav Le? Did you say to that person who had borrowed the money, go sell your land and you matriach yourself to go and pay off the Baal Chov? Now that seems to be different than Agamar here. Agamar said that if you only have land, you give him the land. As Tosus pointed out, one of the principles of Reino Talmud says, if you don't have money, then you're allowed to pay him back with land. And he has to be matriach, not you. So in this situation, did you, Rav Chama, say in the name of Rava that the din is opposite, that the person who lent the money can tell the person who borrowed the money, you sell the land and give me cash. I'm not interested in being matriach myself to go and actually have to sell the property because I need the cash myself. So that's what Rav Papa asked Rav Chama. Did you say that in the name of Rava? So Amalei, so Rav Chama tells back to Rav Papa, no, I didn't say that. Lo. No. Rav Chama was surprised. Now I'm reading this according to the Gears of the Masoras HaShas, which happens to be different than what the Arsko said, but I think it makes more sense to read it the way I'm reading it now. So Rav Chama continues to say to Rav Papa, Emali Gufa de Uvda Hechi Haba. Go and tell me exactly what happened, that you think, Rav Papa, that I said this over the name of Rava. What did you hear that makes you think that I said this over in the name of Rava? So Rav Papa responds and says, this is what I heard. Amalei, Rav Papa says to Rav Chama, Tole ma'osav bi'ove kochav m'hava. The din that I heard was that in a situation where the person said, when he was asked to pay back the RU, he had cash, or he said he recently had cash, but it doesn't belong to him. It belongs to the ove kochav m'hava. Rashi tells us a little bit difference as to what exactly happened. One said that he actually has the cash now gave it away to the Ovi Kachom, or says the Ovi Kachom, it belongs to him. The other one said it happened beforehand. He says, this isn't my money, it belongs to the Ovi Kachom. This Ovi Kachom was a strong-armed guy, and you weren't going to start up with him. So he says, listen, I owe you the money. I'm not a cheat over here. Here, take this property, because the cash belongs to the Ovi Kachom. And in that situation, who also, so now we have the words, the Masorah Shazed's Amalei. So now, Rav Chama says back to Rav Papa, who also Shaloki Hogan? This person acted inappropriately by saying that this cash belonged to this strong-armed Ovi Kochavim, when it really, either before or after the fact, he says it belongs to the strong-armed Ovi Kochavim, but it really doesn't. So therefore, he acted in a way that wasn't proper and wants to keep his cash and wants to give you the land. Therefore, Lefikach also goes Shaloki Hogan. So in that situation, Rava said, okay, so now go sell the land and go pay him back cash because you did something inappropriate. So we're going to do something inappropriate back to you and make you have to sell the property and give him the cash. But under normal circumstances, if the person who owes the money really doesn't have the money and he only has karka, so then the din is that he can give the karka and we're matriach the person who gets the karka to go sell it if he wants and not the person who gives the karka to go and sell it. He's allowed to go give him karka instead of cash if that's all that he has. Gemara continues and says, Amalei Rav Kahana l'Rav Papa, Rav Kahana said to Rav Papa, Lididoch, according to you, the Amris, Priyas Bacho Mitzvah, you say that the repayment of a loan is a mitzvah upon a person to do. It's a mitzvah to say, to go pay back your loans. So that's your opinion, Rav Papa. So Rav Kahana asks him, What happens if the guy says, listen, I don't want to do the mitzvah? Amar, the guy says, Lonichali the Yavi mitzvah. I don't feel like doing the mitzvah today. Sorry, buddy. You know, it'd be nice to do the mitzvah, but I'm not doing it. And if I'm not paying you back. My, so what's the halacha in this situation? What do we do to this guy in order to get him to pay back the loan? After all, it's a mitzvah saseh. If he doesn't want to do it, what rights and power do we have? Do we give the guy lashes? Do we give him malchus? So Rapapa says no. Amalei, Tanina, we learned this in a Braisa. The Braisa says that under what circumstances do we give malchus? That's how Rashi explains in Dibra Masel Ben the Lokar Barm. Under what circumstances do we say that you can give malchus? So that Rashi, that the Gemara says, Ben Dvar Mamurim b'mitzvas lo saseh. We only give malchus if a guy does a mitzvas lo saseh. In other words, if he transgresses a lo saseh, then we give malchus. Now, only in that situation do we give malchus for a lo saseh. Avol b'mitzvah saseh, if a guy doesn't want to do a mitzvah saseh, for example, kigon, coming up on sukkah, so how appropriate. Kigon shalom lo, asi sukkah, right? There's a minhag to go start building your sukkah on Matzah Yom Kippur. If you want to build it earlier, you certainly can, but certainly there's a beautiful minhag that says you should, if you haven't yet built your sukkah, you should start doing something for it on Matzah Yom Kippur. So kigon shalom lo, asi sukkah. The guy doesn't have a sukkah. And they tell him, listen, go build a sukkah. They know also. And it's not yet sukkah, so he still needs to build a sukkah. And he said, no, I ain't doing it. Or he doesn't buy a lulav and esrog. Again, perfectly a timely discussion. A person has to go buy it. Think about buying the dalet minim already. So he doesn't want to buy a lulav and esrog. They know also. And he says, I ain't doing it. Sorry. So we turn to pay vav on mitbeis. In this situation, what do we do to the person? Machin or so, actually, teit say naf show. So technically, based on his right to give him malchus martus, as Rashi says, kodim shavalo ase, v'yesh b'dol l'kayim, as long as he still can do the mitzvah saseh, it's not over. So it's not yet the end of sukkah. The end of sukkah is what does it do to force him to build a sukkah or to buy dalet minim. It's too late. So as long as he still can do the mitzvah saseh, so Basin has the actual power to go force somebody by giving him malchus martus. You can actually go and lash him to the point where he almost loses his life. And therefore, in this situation, that's what we can do to this person who doesn't want to pay back his debt. Say, oh, listen, you don't want to pay back your debt? You don't want to do the mitzvah? Well, guess what? We'll beat you up until you go and do the mitzvah. Now, these are, so to say, extrajudicial powers of Beis Din, which, if Beis Din is really functioning in the way that a Beis Din should, they would have the power to do this. Again, I don't think today that the Beis Dins usually have the power, even in Eretz Yisrael, where a Beis Din has a certain amount of power to do certain things, so we wouldn't allow them to go and give Malchus Mardis, albeit they do have certain extrajudicial powers to help enforce the basic laws, such as doing the mitzvah saseh. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "Boy, minei Rami Bar Chama mer chista. Rami Bar Chama asks for chista the following shaila. Harei zegitech. If a person says to his wife, listen, here is your get. However, belot is garshibo, but it won't be divorcing you. Elo liachar shloshim yom. It will only take effect after 30 days. So what's the halacha in the situation? V'holcho v'inachtu b'tzidei rishus harabin." And at the end of the 30 days, it is not in her possession, it's in the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, which is the side of the Rishus HaRabim. It's a little bit different than the Simta that we talked about the other day, but it's on the side of the Rishus HaRabim. As Rashi points out in Dibra Maslow, Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, it's somuch l'ksolim, it's near the walls of the Rishus HaRabim, she'ein derech bnei adam la'avosham, people don't usually walk there, l'schachit b'kosim, because they'll rub against the walls, they don't go and do that. So animals do that sometimes, but people don't do that. So she deposited the get there, so it's not in her possession, at the end of the 30 days. Is it considered a get, or is it not considered a get? That's what Rami Bar Chama asked for Chista. Amalei, Rav Chista says to him, Eina megureshes midirav u'shmur. She's not considered divorced based upon what Rav u'shmur taught us in yesterday's shiur. What was that? The Rav u'shmur, the Amar Tavai, that both Rav u'shmur said, this is in regard to the machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Tarfon said that if a person dies and he has something that is, let's say, perus telushim, he has fruits that are detached from the ground and they're not in his possession, but they belong to him. So his yarshim don't inherit it yet until it becomes into their possession. So in this situation, kolakodim zochaba, if a balchov grabs them first, so the balchov gets it over the yarshim. That was Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. But they had only said that, Rav and Shmuel only said that, if it was in a public area and not in the possession of the yarshim. V'ushet tziburin umunachim b'rishus harabim. That's only if those peros telushim, the peros that had already been detached from the ground, if they were in a public area, in the Rishus HaRabim. But if they had been in the side, in the symptom, so then Rabbi Shmuel said, no, that belongs already to the Yarshim. And our Gemara now says, Rav Chista says, that based upon this din of Rav and Shmuel, v'tzidei Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim double. The Tzidei Rishus HaRabim are not like a symptom, they're like the Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, if it's like the Rishus HaRabim, it's not considered in the Yorshin's possession, and therefore, in this situation, she is not considered divorced because it's not considered in her possession. And the get has to be in her possession at the end of the 30 days. It has to be extant and in her possession at the end of the 30 days in order for the get to take effect. So that's what Rav Chisda told Rami Rachama. Rami Rachama is not happy with this. He says, Adrabi, no, but your rationale should be the exact opposite in the din. Migureshes, midi Rav Nachman. In fact, I would say that this woman is divorced based upon what Rav Nachman said. What did Rav Nachman said? We also had this the other day. Dam Rav Nachman, Am Rabba Ravua. Rav Nachman said the name of Rabba Baravua. Ha'omer l'chaver, if a man says to his friend, do a kinyan mishicha on this para, mishoch parazu. Make a kinyan mishicha on the para. However, v'lo tia knuya loch ad li'achar sholshim yom. But it will only become yours after 30 days. Now, in that situation, he said it should be knuya loch me'achshav, but it only takes effect in 30 days. Now, in 30 days, if the cow is in the agam, nevertheless, kana vafilu omez agam. Here, Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Baravua that the cow does belong to him, even though it's in an agam. An agam is not his private property. It's a swamp. It's a public area. And therefore, even though it's not in his private property, Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Baravua that he does get it. So the get should be the same thing. My love, Hainu Agam, Hainu Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. How is the Agam any different than the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim? So they're both considered a public area, and therefore the woman should be entitled to be divorced, just like the man is entitled to own the cow, even though he doesn't have the cow in his possession. So the woman should be divorced, even though she doesn't have the get in her possession. Mistama, when the man gave her the get, he said, you'll be nisgarish to me from this moment in time, when you have this in your possession 30 days from now. And it's considered that she has it in her possession, even though it's not in her direct possession, but it's not in something that's like a Rishus HaRabim. The Agam is like the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, and that should work. Shemar says, no, Rav Chisda would tell Rami Lacham, I disagree with you. Lo, Agam Luchud, Tzidei Rishus HaRabim Luchud. Agam is different than the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. In this situation, you can acquire it if it's in the Agam, but you can't acquire it if it's in the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. Tzidei Rishus HaRabim are different than the Agam. That's just like the Rishus HaRabim, and the Agam is different. Okay. That's version number one. Ika Diamre, version number two, Amale Migoreshes Mid Rav Nachman. When Rami Rachama asked this question to Rav Chisda, is in fact the woman divorced in this situation? So Rav Chisda had responded and said, yes, based upon Rav Nachman, what he said over the name of Rabba Baravua, that by the Agam you are considered the owner of the cow, so too the woman is divorced. Because right now he says the din is the same. Migoreshes Mid Rav Nachman. Because Betzide Rishus HaRabim, that we do in fact say that they're the same, and the agam is koned for you, so too the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim will be koned the get for the woman. That was how Rami Rachama was answered by Rav Chisda. And here, Rami Rachama says, Pum Fakert, Adrabi. No, it should be the opposite. Let's learn it out from Rav Shmuel. Einam Ugerishim is Rav Shmuel. We should say that she's not divorced from the din that Rav Shmuel just taught us from the Machlokes Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. In that situation, it's only able to acquire the properties of the person who acquires the properties from the Yorshim is only if the Tlushim Peros, if the detached fruits, are in the Rishus HaRabim. But if they're in the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, so in that situation, Rami Rachama wants to say that the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim are like the Rishus HaRabim. And in this situation, my love, Hainu Rishus HaRabim, Hainu Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, and therefore the woman shouldn't be acquiring the get. So Gemara says, no. Rav Chisda will respond to Rami Rachama in the second version and in the following, lo. Rishus HaRabim L'chud, B'tzidei Rishus HaRabim L'chud. No, I hold that the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim are like the Agam. They're not like the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore, Rav Chisda says in this situation that the woman, in fact, would be divorced. So, version number one, the woman is not divorced according to Rav Chisda, and version number two, the woman would be divorced according to Rav Chisda, because the difference is, in version number one, he holds the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim are, in fact, like the Rishus HaRabim, and not like the Agam, and the second version holds the exact opposite. He says that the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim are like the Agam, and not like the Rishus HaRabim. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, HaMoshe V'Sishto Chenvonis, if a man makes his wife into being a storekeeper for him, a Chenvonis for him, or Oshemina Apetropia, or he appoints her to be in charge of his business. His wife's a very astute woman, and she's going to be in charge of his business. So in each situation, he sets her up to basically do business on his behalf, either as a chenvonis, to make her into a storekeeper, or to make her into the one in charge, his chief operating officer for his business. So in this situation, he has the right, like any person does with his partner, harezeh mashbia Kozman Shiyirza. The Tanakhama says, if he wishes to, he can make it take a shua that she's not skimming anything off the top. As Rashi says, Shlo ikva biyada klum, that nothing stuck to her fingers, that she didn't keep anything for herself, that she's dealing in erelcha business. I would add on the side, woe is to the relationship between husband and wife that he has to go and force his wife to go and make a shua that she's not skimming off the top of him, as the Gemara will itself say in a moment. So the Tanakhama's opinion is that the husband in this situation, since he set his wife up in an administrative role over his business, either as a storekeeper or as an apotropos, so in this situation, he's allowed to go and request a shvuah from her at any point in time, and she has to go and give that shvuah. Rabbi Lezer disagrees. Rabbi Lezer Omer, not only on the situation where he set her up as a storekeeper or as an apotropos for him, but even afilu al pilcha, even for the amount of work that she does with the flax spinning on her pilcha, on her spindle, or on the dough that she gets from him, and she's making the bread. So to say, in that situation, he also has a financial interest in what she's doing to make sure that she's making the most out of the wool that he's giving her to spin and the dough that he's giving her to make bread, so he can make a shrua that you didn't take away anything off the top, you didn't skim anything away from the spindle or from the dough that I gave you. Even stricter than the Tanakhama. Now, the Gemara asks, Ibarlu, according to Rabbi Eliezer, does Rabbi Eliezer ayide gilgul kamar, when he says that you can even make a shrua for the pilcha and the isasa, is that only for a woman who already can have a shrua done against her because she was a chenvanis or an apotropia? Or is it even, even if she's not an apotropos, if she's not a chenvonis, nevertheless, Rabbi Lezer holds that the husband can go and demand the shua for her just on the basis of pilcha and isasa, not as a gilgul shua, but directly because she is given the wool to spin, the pilcha, and the isasa, and the dough. So how do we paskin? So Toshma, let's bring a raya from the following b'aisa. Amalul Rabbi Lezer, they said to Rabbi Eliezer, Ain Adam Dar im Nochash B'Kvifa. They said, in regards to his opinion on Mishnah, in the Braisa, they said, you can't live like this. The wife can't live like this, that the husband doesn't trust her, and he wants her to make a shua that she's not skimming anything off the top from her husband. Now, a person can't live in a steak in the same basket. You can't live like this. Now, if we're dealing over here, Iyamis Bishlom L'Chachila, if we're talking about that L'Chachila, he's going to go and ask her to go and make a shvua l'chachila without being a chenvonis, without being an apotropia, that he's going to make a shvua on pilcha v'sisasa. We can understand why a person can't live like that. That's horrible. Shapir. We understand why the Chacham say to Rabbi Lezer, it doesn't make any sense. Ella, if you're talking about Ella Yarmis, Aide Gilgal, that yeah, she's a chenvonis, she's an apotropia, and in that situation, the Tanakhama also feels it's appropriate that he can demand a shvua from her if he's afraid or worried that she's skimming off the top, and then Al Gilgal, you can make a pilcha v'el zisasa, my nafkalamina. Then why would she be uncomfortable with that? Listen, he's entitled to make a shvua for this, so then he throws in another shvua for that. Why would that be so horrible? Why would that be Ein Adam Dar im Nochash B'Kvifa? So Gemara says, no, that's lav davka, because the Amulei, she could say to her husband, really, you don't trust me for the pilcha and the isasa? I can understand the big business, the chenvonis, the big business, the apotropia. Okay, you want a shvua, I'll give you a shvua. But the little bit of flax, the little bit of wool that I'm spinning over here, the alisasa, or the little bit of dough that you're giving me, you don't even trust me for that. Even the kudaiksis basroi kulihai, you're so medactic on even such a small amount, lo motzina the adur badach. I can't live with you like that. So therefore, the Chacham could say, "Ein adam dar im nachash b'kvifa," even on Gilgul Shua, and therefore we don't have a riot from this price of what Rabbi Lezer Shita is. Try again. Toshma. Gemara says, "Harei shelo potar es ishto min haneder min hashvua." A man says to his wife, "I'm not exempting you. Shelo potar es ishto min haneder min hashvua. I'm not exempting you from having to make a neder or a shvua to me if I have a situation where you'd have to make a neder or a shvua to me. Boshivu chenvanis, o shemina apotropia." And then he goes and appoints her to be a chenvanis, or he appoints her to be an apotropia. Now, harei zeh mashbia kozman shiyutze. Like the Tanakhama of Mishnah, the Braisa says the same thing. You can go and demand from her, if he wishes, the husband can demand a shvua from her at any point in time. Kozman shiyutze. However, lo yishiva chenvanis v'lo min apotropia, if he didn't appoint her as a chenvanis, he didn't appoint her as a terapapa, then any achol hashbir. The Tanakhama says in the Braisa, just like he said in the Mishnah, he can't require her to make a shua. Rebbe Lezer disagrees. Rebbe Lezer Omer, even though he didn't appoint her to these positions of financial oversight, such as being a storekeeper for him or being a COO, apotropia for him in charge of his business, he can still go make a shvua whenever he wants to. Because there is always a situation where the woman is at least for an hour somewhat in charge of the husband's business. He leaves the house. He says, listen, if there's aniyim coming, go give them the $5 over here. And he puts out $5. And did aniyim come? Did they not come? So he's allowed to go make a shvuv. Just like he can always ask her to be an apotropos in some way, because he always gives her the wool to spin, the spindle, and the dough. And therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he can do this even, clearly, it's not al gilgul shvur. Here it's clearly that he's doing this even only on pilcha of his sasa l'chachila, and on this, on Melo, the Chacham said to Rabbi Eliezer, ein dor odom im nochash b'kvifa, that's a horrible way to live, and a woman can't live like that, that's terrible, and shma mino l'chachila, you clearly see from here that she wasn't an apotropos, she wasn't a chanvonis, and yet he can go make this, so it's not al gilgul shvur, it's directly l'chachila, shma mino. Oh, this is a very good raya. Now we go on to the next Mishnah. Mishnah begins, Kosapo, if a husband writes to his wife a document that says, it's the same thing if he would say to her, Neder Ushvua Ein Liolayach, I say that I will not ask you to go make a Neder or a Shvua to me for a situation where I might otherwise have the rights to go and ask you to make a Shvua. So then, Ein Yochol Lashbiyah. So then he said he wouldn't do so, he wrote he wouldn't do so, and therefore he's not allowed to make a Shvua or make her make a Shvua to him. However, Awa Mashbiyah Hu Es Yorshel, if she were to pass away, he's allowed to go and ask her Yarshim to go make a Shvua. And likewise, the S, he's allowed to ask Haboy and Rishusa. If she sold her Ksuba to somebody else, so that person is now going to come and collect the Ksuba after she was divorced. And now she's not there to make the Shvua herself. She died, so the Baal can go and ask the Yorshim or the Boy and Birishusa to go make the Shvua. As Rashi points out, Diba Maschav Mashbihu Es Yorshel, for example, in Girsha, so he divorced her, and then she died, so the Yarshim are coming to collect the Ksuba, so as the Gemara in Shavuos tells us, he's allowed to go and ask them, did she ever tell you that the Ksuba was actually paid up, or partially paid up, or did she ever have a document that you found amongst the documents saying that the Ksuba was Perua? Or if she sold it to somebody else, Rashi continues, and he says that those people are now coming to collect the Ksuba on her behalf, he can make them make a Shua that the same thing, that she never told them that the Ksuba was paid up, or that they had a document in their possession that the ksuba was paid up. So the husband said in this situation, he won't make her make a shua, but that doesn't mean that the Yarshim or Haboyim Birushusa, he can't make them make a shua. However, if he said, the Mishnah continues, Neder shua ein li olayich, I won't make you make a shua or neder, and likewise, val yorshayich, val Haboyim Birushusech, and I also won't make those Yarshim of yours, or those that you sold the ksuba to, have to make a shua. So then, he can't do so. Ein yochel hashbiyah, can't make her make a shvua, and as well, lo he, not her, lo yorsha, not the yorshim of her, lo sabam yishus, or anybody that she sold the ksuba to, and is coming now on behalf of her to go collect the ksuba, so they can't make, he can't make them make a shvua. However, if he were to die, avol yorshav, his yorshim, mashbiyah osa. He said, I won't make you do this, but his yorshim can go and demand the shvua both from the wife and from her yorshim, or from haboyim yishusah. And therefore, avol yorshav mashbiyah osav, yes yorshav, yes avon bishusav. Next part of the Mishnah says, if he tells her, neder shvua ein li, v'lo liyorshai, v'lo labarim bishusi, he says, I won't make you make a neder shvua, and neither will my yorshim, or those that come bishusi, or anybody that I sell my rights to, and they come, as Rashi said, labarim bishusi, im emkor nechosai, the at boal lifarim lekuchos, and you come to go and collect from those lekuchos, so they now are involved, so I'm saying that I won't make you make a shua, and neither will anybody who's coming on my behalf, either my yorshim or those that are coming birshu si. So on you, alayich, and as well, val yorshayich, val aboyim birshu sech, or anybody that inherits you or that comes on your behalf. So then, in that situation, ein yochol hashbiya, he can't make her make a shua. Not who, lo who, the lo yorshav, not his yorshav, lo aboyim birshu so, and not the people that are coming on his behalf. Likewise to her, lo osa, to her, to the woman, lo yorshav, to her yorshim, or the lo aboyim birshu so, anybody comes on her behalf. Now, the Mishnah then explains this last part with the following. Hilkach, halacha is as follows. Holcha mikaver ba'lo lebeis aviyah. If she were to leave Nebuch right after the burial of her husband, she goes straight to her father's house. Holcha mikaver ba'lo lebeis aviyah. So therefore, she had absolutely no oversight over the estate. Or, Or she goes back to her husband's house, which is her father-in-law's house, because they often lived by the husband's parents. Below nasis apotropia, and she was never made an apotropos. She had nothing to do with the administration of her husband's properties. It was all done by her father-in-law. So then, ena yorshim mashbinosa. Then, the yorshim of her husband have no right to make her make any sort of ishua. However, dimnasis apotropia, but if they did put her in charge of the estate, so then Hayorshim, the husband's Yorshim, when she wants to go collect the ksuba, have the right to say to her, Mashbino so alo asu lavo. They can say from that point and on, tomorrow we'll discuss exactly what time it is. It's from the death of the husband or from the time that they appoint her an apotropis. So from that point and on, Hayorshim Mashbino so alo asu lavo. They can say from here on in, anything that you do, we are going to ask you to make a shua for us. However, but they can't go and do a Gilgul Shavua. That's why some say that this is listed here. The teacher says, then a Gilgul Shavua. They can only go Mikal Abba, but they're not even allowed to do a Gilgul Shavua on anything that happened in the past. And this basically is the last part of the Mishnah is explaining that if the husband said, nobody from me will do a Shavua on you or anybody from you, so then that is only until the husband's domain, so to say, is over. But Mikanu Laba, the children, the Yarshim of the husband, if they wish, can say, now, from now on, we are going to demand the Shua from anything Mikanu Laba, but they can't do anything retrospectively, even Al Gilgul Shua. Gemara starts off and says, Shua my Avidator. Now Rashi explains this means, the bottom Rashi, Ezo Shua Stam Shisha Chayevis Labala. When do we have a situation a woman is chayev to make a shua to her husband, Oli Yorshav, or to his Yorshav if he's not there, that we say, Alvia Diktani, Dechilo Patra Mashbia, that if she isn't exempt, that they're allowed to be Mashbia her, Dechi Patra, and if he says that you'll be exempt, then Ain Mashbia. What type of situation are we talking about that the woman would be obligated to give a shua to her husband, that we're dealing over here with the husband saying you're exempt or you're not exempt? So I'm reviewed on Rav, and we turn to Pezayin Amad Aleph. Yehuda Marav says, we're dealing over here with al apotropia shenasis b'chayev ba'ala, that if she becomes an administrator over the estate, the husband makes her the COO over his properties, over his estate, so then he has the right, like anybody with a partner, has the right to go make them make a shvua. As the top Rashi says, normally, potra b'ksiva zos mishvuas apotropia. So by doing this, he makes her, by saying, I won't make you make a shua, so she would be exempt from making a shua over here that he normally would be allowed to go and make for her if he would put her to be an apotropos or if he made her to be the chenvonis, we said the storekeeper. However, according to this, however, Rehu the Marav, it's only if he made her a chenvonis or an apotropos. But Rashi says, Avon pogmo ksubasa, if she took part of a ksuba during the lifetime, so when she collects the ksuba, she's an honest woman, she says, listen, I'm entitled to $100,000. If I took $10,000 already, so only give me $90,000. In that situation, that's called pogemes ksubasa, so then, lo tipara ela b'shvua, then she must normally make a shvua. And when the husband says, I won't make you make a shvua, he wasn't talking about that according to Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav. He was only talking about the chenvonis or the apotropis type of shvua, but not pogmok subosa type of a shvua that she would be obligated to make to either him or to the yorshim if she admits that she took part of a ksuba already. So then they have the right to say, well, tell us that you didn't take anything else. On the other hand, Rav Nachman, Amar Rav of Aravua says, even ala pogemis ksubosa, so even if she was pogem or ksuba, and normally she would have to make a shvua, the husband says, no, you don't have to make a shvua to me, so that would even include that. So we have a machlokes here, Rav Yehuda Marav versus Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Bavua. Does this then apply to Pogemus B'Ksuba or not? Rav Yehuda Marav says no, she still would have to make that Shua. Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Bavua says no, in that situation she would not have to make that Shua. Also Rav Mordechai, Amar L'Shmaisa Kamed Rav Ashi. So Rav Mordechai said over this machlokes in front of Rav Ashi. So he says, Bishlamo Laman D'Yomar Ala Pogemus K'suba. So it makes sense according to Rav Nachman Amar Rav Bavua that says that when he says you won't have to make a shua to me, it includes even Pogemus K'suba. So therefore, because the woman has a possibility that she'll do that, when the husband writes to her this, it's because the maska adaita, because the woman thinks that during the marriage, duma mitzrochei lezuze, everybody knows that sometimes things can be financially difficult, and maybe I'm going to have to go take some money from, and I'll be an honest woman, I'll say, I'll take this from my ksuba, v'shokilna miksubosai, and I'll take early the ksuba, the armor lay, and she'll tell her husband, ksovli delo mishbasli. So she tells her husband, listen, things are tight right now. I need a little bit of extra money for whatever the reason. Husband doesn't want to give it to her. She says, listen, I'll take it from Iksuba and just write me a document since I'm admitting that I'm taking $10,000 now. So write me a document. You're not going to make me swear. Your Yarshim aren't going to make me swear when I collect the other $90,000. So that makes sense. So she would ask her husband to write such a document. Or chenvon is, according to review the Marav, that says the only thing that she would say is to go and ask husband to write this document. She shouldn't have to be keshua if she becomes a chenvonis or an apotropis. So who says she's going to be like that? Me havis yod, the most of apotropia. Who says her husband's making an apotropia that she'd go and ask him in advance for a letter or a document stating that he won't ask him to make keshua? The armor lay that she should tell him ksov li the lo mishpatli, that you should write a document for me that I won't go and have to make keshua to you about being an apotropis. Who says she's going to be an apotropis? So this was the kasha that Rav Mordechai said in front of Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, Amalei, that's, you have this kasha because atun aha masnisula, because you learned it, that this statement of Yudam Arav was going on the reisha of the Mishnah, whether or not the shvua goes on the apotropis and chambonis, but not on the situation of Bogemus Kusubasa. However, anan aha masnisula, we don't have this problem because we learned it on the last part of the Mishnah, which said, Holcha mikevra bala, the base of it, if she were to go and leave straight from Nebuch, the funeral of her husband, and go straight to her father's house, or she goes to the base chamil, below nasis apotropis, or she goes back to her own house, her father-in-law's house, where she's been living, and she doesn't become an apotropis, so then in that situation, any yarshim mashbino, so in that situation, the yarshim don't have a right to go make her make any shua, because that's what the husband said, you won't have to make any shua, not for me, not for my yarshim. However, v'im nasis apotropia, if they make her into an apotropis, so then, Yorshin, then the children have the right to say, Mashbino so al osi lavo, will go anything, mikanu lahaba. However, they mashbino so al shavar, they can make a shua, even al gilgul, on the past. Now, shavar, maya vidite. Now, what are we talking about over here on the past? As Rashi says, diva maschu shavar, maya vidite, kloma. What does this mean over here? Ad mosai kari li shavar. What he's saying is, the question over here is, what do we consider the past? Do we consider it, as we'll see in a moment of the Gemara, as I pointed out before, from the moment of death or from the moment that she is an apotropis? What does that mean? Al sha'aba, they can't make her make a shua. My avidite. So I'm review the Marab. On that, review the Marab says, al apotropia shenasis b'chayabal. That which your husband said that she won't have to make a shua, that's on when she was an apotropis during the chayabal, during the lifetime of a husband. However, avo ben miso likvura mashbiin la. So they do have the right to go make a shvua for her once the husband's dead. The moment the husband dies, so then, review the Amarav says, from that moment and on, that's called mikanu lahaba. Even though they haven't made it yet, but they can ask that to go back in time to the point of the death of the husband. They can't go before the death of the husband, but for once the death of the husband, they're allowed to go and ask to make a shvua. And of that, Rav Master Amar, afilu beimiso lekvura lo mashbiinu la. No, Rav Master said that from the time of the death until the time that they actually appoint her as an apotropis, that's still called under the husband's domain. And therefore, the Amri Naradai, the Naradai said, because if she needed to take money from that point in time, Lechrag, to pay for the head tax that the Malchus would demand that people pay, or Mazoni, the Nebuchadnezzar, she didn't have any food to feed herself or her children, or Lekvura, or if she needed to go and bury anybody, either pay for her husband's Nebuch's expenses or chas v'shalom, somebody else died, so then, in that situation, she'd be allowed to go and take and mizban minam below achrazta. She would be allowed to go and take any of the property there without even making a achraza to normally get the best price, because these are emergency situations, urgent situations where you don't try to get the best price. She's allowed to go sell something even without making the public achraza, the public announcement they would make to go sell an orphan's property. So in this situation, since she had the right to do this, so therefore, she wouldn't be able to, the exemption that she had about making a shul would apply over here as well. And it's only from the point where she's appointed as an apotropis that from that point on, the Yarshan would be allowed to go and say, now from now on, we're going to ask you to make a shvua. So this is the way Rav Masna learned this. And that's why Rav Ashi said to Rav Mordechai, you had a problem learning this machlokis because you're going on the Reisha. We have no problem because we're going on the Sefer. With this, we conclude today's share.